Chapter 33.
Through all this time, I had been waging constant war. Right after conquering Daimony, now the Daimon Republic, I declared war on their neighbors in Delavi, which I justified through the ancestrally contested lands they had fought over with Daimony for thousands of years. As a side note, I also found out the Delavian dukes had sex with goats. Seriously, goats. A lot of them. They're goat buggers. They invited me to join in, the sick bastards. Anyway, Frey had a treaty with Hamara to back each other if one of us went to war with Delavi. Frey thought my declaration of war was unjust, however, and pulled out of their treaty. I made sure to plan something special for those oath-breakers, especially their young head matriarch, Qualandra. You've probably heard about my affair with her, and the rumors are true, but Qualandra only consented after I had promised her marriage and an alliance. She did it for the sake of her kingdom.
Daylan flew the Merovan through the sky buoys with the patrol ship alongside. The buoys directed all ships entering the city to the capital skyport. The city below had a wide path, walled off, that had no buildings or people within. It mirrored their path. This way, if anything accidentally fell from a skyship while it flew over the city, it wouldn't harm anyone or cause property damage. This was yet another policy that Daylan had instituted. Skyships hadn't been as prominent in his youth, but he had known their use would just continue to grow, and that provision needed to be prepared in the city's infrastructure. Ships could obtain permits to fly freely across the city, of course, and the smaller the ship, the fewer the restrictions. Although dwarfed by the four greater islands above, countless sky sitters and sky islands floated in the air, some on the same level as the Merovan. Light he could look right through the windows of the closer ones. "Where's that snot disappeared to?" Daylan asked. "I thought Sane would like to see the city up close."
"Maybe he wishes to avoid being seen by the authorities," Arik nodded to the patrol ship escorting them. "He is a former pirate, after all."
"Good point," Daylan replied as he adjusted one of the control levers. It wasn't long before the capital skyport came into view, and what a view it was. Essentially, the capital skyport was an enormous square, over 500 meters to each side, framed and pierced by large structures of timber, stone, and brick, making up the countless warehouses, skyship hangars, and company offices. Each building that bordered the port was at least 5 stories high, with a few skyscrapers among them. Hundreds of straight, broad roads ran into the main square of the skyport, with 2 additional roads stacked above. All were built of stone with dark stone foundations, so that they simply sat in the air. Those roads, called wharfs, had hundreds of triple-stacked piers sticking out on either side like the teeth of a comb. Buildings often stood where the piers met the wharfs, all of them at least 3 stories high, lining up with the roads. Daylan had designed the docks to be modular so that they could be added upon as the need arose, which they had. Because skyships could stay in place permanently once they'd locked anchor, most piers had another 2 built atop, matching the levels of the triple-stacked wharfs. This meant that a skyship could simply dock above another, multiplying the space that could be obtained, and more could be built in the future. Each individual set of docks that was built on top of another was called a stack. The docks were not equal, however. There was one set of wharfs that had much longer piers sticking out, which were spaced farther apart from one another, with a single level stacked atop the first. Daylan recognized that set of wharfs with its larger docks to be the first harbor, reserved for the larger shipping companies, freighters, and the few cruise ships. Daylan couldn't help feeling a surge of pride at seeing how one of his works had grown in grandeur over the years he had spent in exile. It appeared that his designs were working perfectly. One more good thing he could leave the world, though he would never be remembered for it. His crimes overshadowed everything else in his life. Pulling his gaze from the glorious port, Dalen continued to guide the ship through the buoys until coming to the line of ships that waited on the skyport's traffic controller. The traffic controller was a man who stood on a floating platform and directed the ships coming into a specific harbor. He would judge each ship according to size and the capacity of the harbors on that specific fall, and use flags to convey messages. Luckily, Dalen only needed to follow the patrol ship, and they flew over the line straight on in. The patrol ship guided them to the first harbor. Special treatment indeed, considering the Merovin was a small trader. A soldier standing on the deck of the patrol ship called out, "Dock 1, Stack 12, first wharf." Dalen frowned, wondering why it should matter which dock they used. Knowing which harbor to dock in was important, but after that any free dock on that specific harbor should have been fine. But then Dalen remembered that there were always a few docks reserved for suspicious arrivals, and the patrol ship didn't know why they had been called in for an escort, of course, except that those reserved docks would not have been in the first harbor, especially the docks so early in the stacks.
"We're expected," Dalen said.
Auric glanced at him.
"What do you mean?"
Dalen tilted the ship so they could see the dock they were headed toward and pointed.
"The stacks usually fill up in order, as the first ones are closer to the port's sides. Easier to unload cargo. Every stack before and after 12 is taken, which means someone's been keeping it clear."
"Yes, I see," Auric said. "Our destination would have been logged in Tremaine's skyport well before we left."
"Yep," Dalen said.
"Apparently the authorities are far more determined to get their hands on me than I thought. I bet there's at least a squad of constables waiting for us."
"Then I suppose it's a good thing you've already decided to turn yourself in."
"Yeah," Dalen said, though he still felt uneasy about all the obvious preparation that had been made for him. Dalen guided the ship into the lowest dock of the stack.
The stacks in the first harbor were built to accommodate large freighters, so the Merovin, with the Bloodrunner under it, fit easily within the dock's borders. The patrol ship locked anchor in the dock above them. Dalen walked to the left of the helm to glance down at the pier they sighted. Sure enough, there were two squads of constables waiting there.
"Time to face the sun," he told himself before walking to Auric.
As they made their way to the stairs that led off the helm, Dalen heard the door that led below deck open. It was Sane. Dalen reached him a second later.
"It's best if you stay out of sight for a while," Dalen said, nodding to the pier they sighted.
The Merovin's main deck sat just a little above the level of the pier, and because they stood on the far side of the ship, they couldn't be seen by those who stood on it.
"There's a heap of Connors over there who are going to be asking a lot of questions. I think you should avoid any close scrutiny, considering your past acquaintances."
Sane nodded anxiously. In fact, the boy looked flushed.
"You all right?"
Dalen asked.
"Yeah,"
Sane said, scratching his green-streaked purple hair, which looked a little more disheveled than normal.
"It's just, the Connors, you know?"
"All right. We'll see you in, well, I don't know how long this is going to take. You better get below."
Sane nodded and closed the door behind him. Dalen turned to Auric.
"I trust you'll see to the girls and sort out the salvage claims. I have a feeling I'm going to be occupied."
"I'll see it done and meet you at the constabulary."
"Don't bother waiting around for me. This could take a while. Once you're done here, head to a hotel named the Fulton."
"If you're going to meet me, why at a hotel when there's plenty of rooms on the ship?"
"Which are all cramped except for the captain's," Dalen pointed out. "Besides, the skyport isn't exactly central, and there's too many eyes here. I'll be staying at the Fulton, whether you head there or not."
"Very well."
"Try and get one of the penthouses if you could."
"A penthouse?" Auric said with a raised eyebrow.
"I'm not particularly inclined to such extravagance."
"Would you just do it? It'll be much easier to find you in the penthouse if we get separated than it will in the hundreds of other rooms. It's not like we can't afford it."
After a moment, Ark replied, "Very well," and followed Dalen as they lowered the gangplank. As Dalen stepped onto the pier to meet the constables waiting for him, a powerful feminine voice called out from his left,
"Dalen Namaran!"
Dalen turned to see two archknights approach. One was clearly a Eurasian man, like Arik, but this one was a born and bred prig, as evidenced by his impressive physique and bare chest. The other knight was a beautiful middle-aged woman with dark green hair that had a strong line of crimson running through a long plait. There was something powerfully familiar about this woman, but Dalen didn't know why. He was also extremely annoyed at himself for not realizing that the archknights who had been tailing him in Tremaine would have followed him here.
"I'm such an idiot."
"You are hereby under arrest for murder, assault, and impersonating an archknight," the female said harshly.
Arik looked at Dalen in disbelief.
"You impersonated an archknight?"
Dalen shrugged, saying embarrassedly,
"Yeah, maybe."
"Why would you do that?"
Dalen rolled his eyes.
"That's the charge you have an issue with?
I know you're innocent of the other charges."
"Careful, he's a master,"
one of the Connors announced, looking at Dalen's mark. They all drew their shooters and pointed them at him.
"My actions were justified," Dalen called out. "It's explained in every blackened paper in the city."
The female archknight interrupted.
"Small claims trumped in the papers don't clear you, pretender."
"Hey, I was protecting people," Dalen growled back.
For some reason, the woman flinched at that, her face looking vulnerable for just an instant, but it was long enough for Dalen to recognize her, and his gut sunk.
"Lyra," he said in sorrow.
She hesitated.
How do you know me?"
How could Dalen answer that? He should have no idea who she is. Lyra's expression suddenly hardened.
"It doesn't matter. You're under arrest."
Letting the authorities take him was one thing, for they would eventually let him go or he could escape. But the archknights could properly detain him against his will, as they had the same powers he had. They'd make sure Dalen would never leave their sight for the rest of his life. Yes, he would join them eventually, but on his terms, and when he was ready.
"Sorry, not this fall," Dalen said,
getting ready to increase his mass and soar away. He was then struck by lightning. It had come from the Eurasian knight. He had stretched out his hand and shot a blackened bolt of lightning at him. It hit Dalen in the chest, and it was like his heart had just been pounded by 100 industrial hammers. Dalen was knocked backward at least 20 meters down the pier where he crashed, rolling to a stop. Every bond instantly switched to healing.
"What under the light do you think you're doing?"
Dalen heard Arik demand.
"This doesn't concern you, Bringer," Lyra said.
As the healing neared completion, Dalen began to get to his feet, but a hand grabbed the back of his jacket. It was the muscled Eurasian again, and he was strong, but nothing compared to Dalen once he used his powers. Dalen was about to switch his bonds and give the prig as hard a knock as Dalen had just received, but the archknight pressed a black marble of some sort to the back of his right hand, which he held with two fingers. Suddenly, all the light Dalen was drawing in couldn't be channeled into any of his abilities. It was being sucked back out of him and into the marble. He could feel it. Dalen tried, but couldn't channel the light into anything, for as soon as he drew it in, that black marble pulled it out. Then Dalen felt heavy, really heavy. It came in a wave, and he struggled to remain on his hands and knees. Then the weight seemed to double, and Dalen was crushed to the ground, barely able to move. It was gravity. The gravity on him had been increased. This Eurasian, this arch-knight, he could do things that Dalen had seen certain other arch-knights do in the past, but that Dalen himself couldn't. As he'd suspected, there was a lot more to light-binding than he knew.
"If you fight more, it will be worse,"
the knight said in a thick accent, simply holding the marble on Dalen's palm. Judging by the glove that the Eurasian wore on the hand that held the marble, it would affect him as much as Dalen if it touched his skin. Dalen stopped drawing in light, as it was achieving nothing. Interestingly, at the very moment he did this, the stone that the Turasian was holding to the back of Dalen's palm pressed down with twice as much force. It hurt. Thanks to that, Dalen knew exactly what it was. Darkstone. Dalen drew in light again to let the stone suck it back out, relieving the pressure. The light it sucked out of Dalen acted on the Darkstone exactly the same as regular light, pushing it on that plane. That's why the Turasian was holding it on him the way he was, letting as much natural light touch the stone so that it wouldn't lock. Darkstone nullified light binding when touched, apparently. Well, now he knew. And because of that, he knew exactly how to get away. Even with the massive gravity crushing him, Dalen managed to slide his left hand along the ground, edging it toward the Turasian knight.
"You still fight? You must see that you have lost."
"I don't lose," Dalen said, and triggered the Darkstone dagger in his gauntlet.
It sprung out and stabbed the knight in the side of his foot. Dalen's weight returned to normal as the Darkstone nullified the Turasian's powers. Dalen snapped the dagger off from his gauntlet, which it was designed to do, and pulled his hand out from under the Turasian, who was growling in pain and frustration. The Turasian lifted his foot and reached for the dagger. He shouldn't have been able to do that, as part of the Darkstone in his foot was shielded from light. But he was a lightbinder. The dagger was sucking the light out of him, and therefore still had uniform light on all sides, unlocking it in space. The knight would be able to pull the dagger from his foot like it was a normal blade, something that normal people couldn't do. Darkstone weapons were usually very nasty. Before the Turasian could do anything, Dalen sprung up and kneed the knight in the face with enhanced strength. The Turasian fell back, flinging up blood from an obviously broken nose. He landed on the ground, knocked out completely.
"Shoot me with lightning, you blackened little prig!" Dalen spat, and the command to shoot was given to the constables.
Several shot spikes pierced him. Such wounds would kill a normal man, but with Dalen's healing at full, they didn't even make him flinch. Then he was punched in the side of the face. It was the female Archknight, Lyra, and light! Was she strong? No, more than strong. The bottom side of Dalen's face caved in, bones crushed to powder, and he was knocked a good 5 meters off his feet. This too would have killed him if not for his healing powers, which Dalen suspected the knight knew of, for it had been such a severe blow that it would take a good few seconds for him to recover. It took a lot of force to take down someone who could lightbind, or Dalen's kind of powers at least, for the Turasian's brand of lightbinding didn't seem to include healing. The Turasian remained still on the ground where he had fallen. Dalen was very grateful that his healing ability reacted automatically in these cases. Unfortunately, Lyra had already jumped toward him, her fist back ready for another blow.
"Oh, light, this is going to hurt."
Then she stopped, mid-air, like an invisible force had grabbed her.
"That is enough,"
Arik's voice called out in fury. He turned to the constables.
"Put those away this instant."
His voice echoed with such authority that the constables lowered their shooters.
"Light, blessed light, thank you, Arik," Dalen thought as his face healed.
Lyra struggled against her invisible bonds, her arms and legs kicking out, but her waist remaining perfectly in place. She glared at Arik and then slowly drifted down. The moment this happened, Arik strained in difficulty. "She's increased her mass," Dalen realized. Arik reached into his robe and the tension in his face left as he pulled out a sunstone, clearly surging from it to increase the strength of his power. The woman reached for a pouch, but Arik flicked his hand and the pouch was ripped from her belt. It hit the ground, spilling sunstone marbles along the dock. Dalen got to his feet, his face finally having healed. Light, it had hurt.
"What do you want us to do, Lady Archon?" the constable lieutenant asked. "Leave this to me," Lyra growled.
Arik nodded to Dalen, and he got the message. He was about to jump away when Lyra stretched out her right hand. Light burst from it in a line, forming a huge yellow sapphire two-handed sun-forged war sword that was easily as long as she was tall, with a blade as broad as two hands. Dalen couldn't believe what he had just seen. Was she a lightbringer as well as a lightbinder? She had just created a sword out of light.
As astounding as what she had just done was, Dalen couldn't understand why she needed it. She had a regular steel war sword hanging at her side that was just as useless to her, being restrained by Arik's power. She threw the sword at Arik, blade first. Arik raised a hand and caught it with his powers, holding the sword in the air between them.
Lyra smiled and raised her fist before pulling it back through the sun-forged link. Her whole body jerked forward and the sword was ripped from Arik's hold with a loud cracking sound that split the air. Arik screamed in pain, grasping his chest and falling to a knee. Lyra was released, falling to the ground where she caught the sword as it flew toward her.
Dalen stared at her wide-eyed. No link could be so strong. The sword in Lyra's hand turned into shining light that seemed to flow inside her. She looked at Dalen and drew her steel sword with a sneer.
Oh, Black!
Dalen had been so stunned and amazed at seeing what the woman had done to realize that he should have been running. It was too late now. Lyra charged, and Dalen's frustration at this injustice exploded. He drew imperious.
Fine. You want to fight? It's your funeral.
Before Dalen could attack, an invisible force knocked Lyra's feet out from under her with such power that she spun in the air, and when her body was sideways, another force hammered her down, pummeling her into the pier. An explosion of debris, rocks, and dust flew out everywhere from the impact. Dalen was shielding his eyes from the dust, but he could still see Arik kneeling with a hand pressed on the pier before him. He had recovered quickly from whatever injury Lyra had inflicted, though he still looked to be in pain and was clutching his chest with his other hand.
Lights end, Dalen said to himself. Arik could really do some damage with his powers when he wanted to. Did he kill her? The impact was huge.
In fact, it had far greater power than it should have, unless the knight had increased her mass. If so, it meant that several tons had just been knocked into the dock, and it might also mean that she wasn't incapacitated, as increasing mass gave a resistance to injury. Lyra groaned, and with the dust already clearing, Dalen could make out a human shape starting to move from within the small crater.
"Dalen!" Arik's voice called to him. "Go!"
Dalen nodded. Using his powers, he leapt high into the sky and away from the port.